champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Carey brings up her 200 in style.
Full sack.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Monday edition of the Sports Desk here on Sin 9.7. I'm Ben.
I'm Liam.
And I'm Josh, but I'm not here.
Josh isn't here. No, he's from Get Serial. He's just come for like the first 2 minutes. Did you watch any sport on the weekend?
Did I watch any sport? Not in the slightest. I don't watch any sport at all, actually.
Tell me
the latest updates.
So what do you do with your life then, if you don't watch sport?
I play a lot of video games. They don't count as sports, do they?
Actually, no. I have watched. They play video games on the ESPN. They have like a video game competition.
They got all these esports now. Essendon's got an esports team
do,
now.
Yes.
Who else? There's another team.
Adelaide.
Yeah, Adelaide's got one.
Yeah, so you can become an esports person.
Esports person, that sounds just terrible. I wonder if there's ever going to be sports on virtual reality. Have you thought about that?
There should. There would be a virtual reality sport.
Yeah?
There would be. In the coming years, probably not anytime soon, but you know.
But is that a video game or is that a sport?
You
know, because I mean, you're running around in virtual reality a lot of the time, especially with these new machines that they're building.
It's a
who knows where technology can take us.
Yeah. Nerve-wracking thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit scary.
I know.
All right, well, Liam, what do we got first?
Well, we've got an action-packed show, like always. But
see
we'll
Josh, by the way.
Bye, Josh.
I've been sent off.
You've been dismissed from your duties for today.
Please close the door on your way out. Nice drink you have there.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll get stuck into the AFLW, and it was quite the surprising round.
Massive week.
The grand final spots have completely opened up, and the top two teams, they face off this coming week, the Doggies and Melbourne, and they both sit atop the ladder on 16 points each, and neither of them could make it.
Exactly. Especially the fact that they're playing each other, so there's a big chance that they're not going to end up playing each other in the grand final. But what a ladder it is. Doggies first, Melbourne second, who are playing. Giants, who are third, and Brisbane, who are fifth, are playing. And then Adelaide playing Collingwood. And also, you got the fight for the wooden spoon with Freo playing Carlton. So, it's going to be a massive week of football for the women's. We'll kick off. We'll go straight into the round, actually.
Your girls, the Dockers, went down to Adelaide by 4 points.
What a fantastic game that was. A hard fought to the end. Aaron Phillips up forward again. Was superb. Angela Foley as well played really well with 15 touches. But the best on ground in my mind, and I think she finished third or second in my votes, was actually Dana Hooker. 20 touches, 15 kicks, 3 marks, 5 tackles, and 2 goals.
She always finds the ball.
She
won Dockers Best and Fairest last year as well.
She was an unknown then, so she's a known now, and I think she's had one of the best seasons. She should feature quite highly in the Best and Fairest count, because I don't think she's had a bad game. Mm. But yes, Adelaide ended up getting over the top, 6-4-40 to 5-6-36.
And they're back in the race for the grand final spot.
Yes, and they've probably got the easiest challenge playing Collingwood. I'm not saying Collingwood's an easy challenge,
but Collingwood are starting to put in some good footy. We'll get back to them later, but yeah, Adelaide, they're now in fourth on the ladder. They only sit behind GWS on percentage, only 11 percentage points behind them. And obviously, because of their draw between GWS, they are only 2 points behind the top two. So if they get a win next week and GWS lose, they will play in the grand final, 100%.
Go back to back. And if I was a Doggy supporter, the last thing you want is to play Adelaide in a final. Nothing but pain for them playing Adelaide.
Imagine that, though. Adelaide, they'll win the premiership. Imagine that. Because what were they? They were
0-2.
They were second last?
Yeah.
Because Carlton were last. And now that all of a sudden they're looking incredible, so
they're
starting to hit their straps at the right time of the season. And a team who's not doing that is Brisbane.
The Brisbane Lions. In the wet, they did a comeback in the end, but it was Collingwood the entire game, going down 5-9-39 to 8-5-53. But two players were Collingwood in my eyes. Mo Hope kicked 3 goals, brought it up, tally up to 7 for the season. as well as Christian Bernardi. Bernardi was best on the ground by an absolute mile. I think she had the second most touches. Kicked three goals.
She's always been around there. She's a crumbing small forward, and she's always been around the goals, but not able to really get that presence up. And it was really good to see her produce those three goals.
Yeah, it was.
And Hope finally really starting to show that form where she was touted as the best player when she played for the Doggies against Melbourne in that
famous exhibition match. Yes. Jess Wilchester kicked a goal, which brings her tally up to 8 goals. She was second until the Melbourne game, but we'll get to the goal kicking after this. We go down to Saturday night, and kind of an upset, but kind of not, considering they've only played one bad game for the season. The GWS Giants got over the Doggies quite easy in the end. 7-4-46 to 4-4-28. Mm-hmm. And Courtney Gum, 23 touches, one goal. And Courtney Gum and Eva led the way they pretty much all season, as well as Faruga, the skipper. All of them have done fantastic. I think the Giants, again,
it was a pretty close match as well throughout it. They were kept scoreless in that third term with the Doggies kicking 7 points. And then with a one-point lead going into that final turn, GWS just kicked away. 3 goals straight to nothing. Only a behind from the Doggies to get them to win by, 18 points?
Yep.
Yeah. 3 straight goals.
Emma Carney, again, just doing what she does. Picking up 22 touches. As well as Ali Blackman. So the usual two for the Doggies were probably their best. Lachlan didn't kick a goal, which isn't good for her. And neither did too good. So the two key forwards the last few weeks, the Doggies didn't fire. One of the main reasons why they probably lost. Go down to the final game of the round. And I know this is going to sound a bit biased, but Carlton should win the Wooden Spoon. In the women's.
Yeah.
I know Freo and Carlton are playing for the Wooden Spoon, but Freo has played much better games than Carlton this year. Just going down to Brisbane and Adelaide in the recent weeks, where Carlton's just struggled. 3 goals for 22 to 8-9-57, the score was. And Tegan Cunningham and Elisa O'Day, both with the 3 goals. O'Day as well with 19 touches and 7 tackles, which is a fantastic effort. Also, to say, against Fremantle, Ebony Namanoff, she's a tackling machine.
Mm-hmm.
So you know a few weeks ago when Hosking broke the record with 16 tackles? Yeah. Well, that's what Marinoff got. So she's now first, second, and third in the most tackles in AFLW. So good
that's
on her.
Incredible stuff.
Mm. With Carlton, who really played good for Carlton? I honestly couldn't really say. Do you know anyone? I think...
Harris.
Taylor Harris did okay. But she hasn't set the world. Darcy Vestio as well has been very disappointing.
I just love it. Her Harris, at the start of the season, she bagged Brisbane. She said, oh, Carlton, a lot more professional here. I know I'm playing for a club or something along those lines. And then they're last, Carlton. So
they should be dead last, really. They are
terrible.
By far the worst team.
Because to concede 6 goals in the opening term,
you're
just never going to come back from that.
Pretty much.
And how many times have they done it this season where they've kicked like... They've conceded like 5 or 6 goals against the Doggies. They did that,
And I think they did the week after, the week before against Adelaide. I think they had 3-4 goals.
They need to have a look at their structure.
They really do.
Like that, they do have a very defensive structure, but it just gets easily broken down. Mm. And rightfully they are sitting on the bottom of the table.
And it shows, like, your teams, like especially for you in their prime under Ross Lyon, and St Kilda as well under Ross Lyon, when you're playing defensive and it works, it's fine. But when it doesn't work and you get scored against heavily, you got to change the structure up. Let's head off to the goal kicking now. And Brooke Lachlan's still sitting first with a week to go on 11 goals. Tegan Cunningham from Melbourne, the former basketballer, is on 9 after kicking 3 on the weekend. Jess Wilchester is on 8 goals. And Mick Williams, Aaron Phillips, Christian Bernani, and Mo Hope are all on 7. So I think that's probably I know there's a few people on 6. But, I think that's probably the running for the goal kicking, really. So Darcy Vestio kicked 14 goals last year, so I don't think that's actually going to be beat. But it's going to be an interesting last round because there's a lot to play for. Who do you think the grand finalist is going to be?
It's extremely hard to pick at this stage. Well, it's definitely going to be out of the Doggies and Melbourne. One of those two are locked in, so the winner of that will make it. And then you can toss it. You can do a coin flip. It's seriously that close. So I reckon it's going to be so hard. I'm going to go Doggies, and I'm going to go Adelaide.
Doggies Adelaide. Ooh.
Yeah, I'm tipping my girls to beat GWS.
And Adelaide will get over the top of Collingwood.
Yeah.
I'm going to go different. I'm going to go Doggies GWS because I think GWS are flying at the moment. Not just the fact that they've won their last two. They've won their last two by good margins. Fremantle by 40 and 30 odd points, and absolutely Bulldogs way in the end by a good 18 points. And so I think they should be in the front seat. I won't count out Adelaide as well. They are playing fantastic footy as well.
Yeah, they could easily do it. That's why I've tipped them. We're going to review the final games of the JLT series, which have come to a conclusion. And for those who are wanting to know who finished on top of this JLT series ladder, who was it, Liam?
And the Tigers are going to win the JLT Premiership for 2018!
That's right, Richmond.
Get around the Tigers.
Richmond are backing up. They're showing no signs of a premiership hangover. They have won both their games by convincing margins.
With a percentage of 265.26. And we'll talk about a premiership hangover a bit later, actually. A team is suffering from a premiership hangover. North Melbourne, exactly probably where they're going to finish this year anyways, in 18th position. Gold Coast, get nice and cozy. You were second.
Gold Coast in second position.
I know that's going to be very odd for you guys. I had a Gold Coast finish. I know they smashed Geelong, but I'm surprised Sydney didn't come second. Because so they had a good
They only beat Jerry West by 9, so... 11, sorry.
Yes, Geelong was 16th, St Kilda, Hawthorn. Yeah, so very good for the Richmond Tigers. Winning the JLT Premiership for 2017.
Now, who's suffering this other supposed Premiership hangover?
Well, late last month, we had the AFLX series, right?
Yes, that's right.
And three flags. Adelaide won, Melbourne won, and Brisbane won. Since then, Melbourne and Adelaide have both won a game. But the Lions seem to be... maybe they went too hard. Probably too hard after AFLX Premiership. But yeah.
I reckon we kicked too many goals in the AFLX because we cannot seem to find the middle of the six so far this JLT series. So on the weekend, we lost to Gold Coast by 7 points. We kicked 4 goals, 18 behinds.
That is not on at all.
We kicked 18 behinds and we only scored 42 points. That was ridiculous. And the week before, we only kicked 5 goals, 10. And mind you, up until that last quarter, we were about 2 goals 10, 2 goals 9. So, yeah, I think Fags needs to work on our goal kicking because if this happens during the season...
Get the King of the Jungle back down, see what he can do.
Big Jono Brown?
Yeah.
Brownie.
Talking about... I love him. The reason why... Oh, who doesn't? And the reason why Brisbane lost was because of their goal kicking, but this as well on Friday night, same with GWS. Sydney ended up winning 12-10-82 to JRS 9-17-71.
17? What is going on?
Exactly.
Collingwood kicked 17 behinds as well, but they kicked 16 goals.
But it works, but they won.
Exactly. They did. They performed very well against the Doggies.
Especially that comeback in the end. But
before we get into anything else, there's some sad news from Collingwood.
Yes.
Goalsack, he's done his ACL. He's out for the year.
Yes, unfortunately, I think he only signed a 1-year deal, so his career could be hanging by a thread, really.
Yeah, smart thing, though. Mm. Get a deal.
Yeah, do
injury.
ACL, yeah.
Yeah.
Good way to get money. He knew his knee was going, but he's like, well, I can't leave yet. I'll sign the deal, and then there you go.
Should have done a 2-year deal, but nevertheless, he's still going to get paid. The Dockers performed extremely well against the Weagles.
Yes. Well, when we get to that a bit later, I'll calmly talk about Freo.
Ooh.
And how they played okay.
He's holding himself back, the audience. He's holding himself back,
listeners. So look for me at row 16 on grand final day, guys. I'll be there. He's so good. But yeah, so Kieran Jack, I think he's playing forward now this season. And I think that was a good move as well for Sydney. Luke Parker is probably the most underrated player in the AFL at the moment. He actually won Sydney's best and fairest last year, which came to a surprise to most people. Buddy's doing what Buddy does. Kicked 2 goals 2 after his 4 goals last week. So he's looking in top form. Sam Reed is also doing well. The only issue Sydney does have is their ruck stock. With the saying Tippett might come back, but I did say on Friday that I think Tippett's had too many meat pies since retiring.
Yeah.
Not saying Tippett's probably gaining weight. I'm saying he's probably relaxed a bit since playing footy.
And as you do in retirement.
You know, he's been a couple of orange juices down, you know what I mean? Just relaxing, enjoying retirement. The Giants, they played good. Like I said, they probably should have won the game in the end. Jeremy Cameron kicking 3 goals, 3. You know, the Giants' only ever leading goal kicker. So ever since they started in 2012, he's been their leading goal kicker every season. Patton, I like Himmelberg. Himmelberg is going to be a good forward.
Himmelberg is a very good type.
Let's go down to Moe on Saturday. And
you said it right this week.
Yes.
If you remember last week, you said Moe.
Moe.
The Moe. I'm starting to get a little Moe. A little beard going. But anyway, Collingwood, they performed really well to get that comeback win over the Doggies. They, half time, well, after the first quarter, they were down 1-5 to 6-2. And didn't look good at all. Second term, they went on to kick 4 goals, 8 behinds. And we're just like, okay, here we go. Collingwood's kicking woes again. But the final term, they kicked 8 goals, 1 behind.
And that's what you didn't do. How good was Mason Cox kicking the 4 goals?
Yes, he was. He was incredible. And some of the marks he raked down were quite phenomenal. So good to see him performing at this stage. And hopefully he brings it into the season.
And unfortunately, Brody Grundy might miss me on one with a nice head, nice bump coming on the Doggies play, but a nice bump on him. And again, Josh Shackey, again, did not perform, only having the 4 touches.
I think we got overs for him.
Oh, I'm pretty sure if you got picked like 100 in the rookie draft, you probably would have got overs for him.
Oh, jeez, we are going harsh on Shackey. You know? Give the kid some time.
Oh, he was a pick two, I just think.
Yeah.
You know, pick two should play better, but I do think Crozier was going to be a fantastic pickup for the Doggies.
Yeah.
But it's going to be good.
You miss him, don't you?
I do. He was a fantastic player. A few big injuries there for Collingwood heading to round one.
Liam's just fighting back tears there.
I am. I miss the Croz. A few injuries heading into round one for Collingwood, of course. You have you said before, Goldsack's out with ACL. Grundy might miss through suspension. Daniel Wells isn't playing round one. The goalie's not playing round one with injury, and I think Fistolo and Elliott are also out. So that's a lot of, especially a team like Collingwood who does struggle to score, it's a big out for them. Let's head off to Saturday, Arvo.
A pre-season showdown.
Yes.
Adelaide Crows and Port Adelaide with the Power getting the win there, 98-72. There's two big stories from this match.
Are you going to talk about Mr. Coleman?
We'll talk about the Coleman, and that is Jack Watts. Booting 6 goals.
6 goals straight, might I add, as well.
Yeah, 6 goals straight.
Well, Port only kicked 2 behinds for the game, 16-2, 98-11, 6-72.
Very, very accurate stuff there from Port Adelaide. But another story that I want to touch on is Darcy Fogarty
from the
Crows.
The Fog.
Who was it? I think it might have been Derm or someone. They said that he looks like a young Tomahawk. And I think that comparison is just perfect. I mean, he's huge. Obviously, he's just got to build his endurance tank, and that comes with a top pick in the draft. He came pick 12, obviously.
He's probably the worst pick. He probably went to the worst club as a key forward, though. Adelaide's got too many key forwards that can handle, really.
Yeah, nah, but
He was good.
He looked very good. He kicked 3 goals.
Did you see his goals? Because I can't put my finger on it, but he looks like he has an awkward kicking style.
I'll have to have a look.
Not like a Josh Kennedy stutter, but still. Bryce Gibbs also played really well for Adelaide. And talking about Bryce Gibbs, new phone, who's this? Carlton got over Hawthorn 102-297. And good thing what I just said about Carlton, 102.
Carlton broke the they broke the century. They kicked the century.
Too bad it's not canon, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
But still, they got over, and it was a good game against Hawthorn. I did watch a bit of this game. And another reason why I might pick on Shackey there. Wiedering, I think, hasn't put a foot wrong since he started.
Wiedering has been phenomenal, hasn't
pick
he?
One,
he's just fit right in seamlessly into the Carlton defence. And what's he played now, 3 seasons?
This is
his third or fourth, whatever it is. He's just looked incredible. So,
he has.
Wiedering's been great. And not too bad of a pick from Carlton at number one.
And 3 goals from Daisy's not too bad.
Yeah, Daisy Thomas.
And again, they're playing Patrick Kipps up forward. Oh, I've got to mention Bonta Paley played up forward for Bulldogs and he kicked three goals.
Yeah, he kicked 3 goals.
Let's head off to the Dangerfield game on Sunday.
And an almost identical scorecard to the game prior. The score was 97-101 with the Bombers winning the match there. down in Colac in front of it was a pretty big crowd, 9,115. Yeah. There were fans on the roof who were close by to the stadium. Yeah,
that's what I like. That's why I like a bit of suburban footy. I love that.
I love the JLT series. This is great. Bring it to the country.
I did forget to mention another game: Hawthorn 3-19-97 to Carlton 16-6-102. Again, points cost them the game.
Yeah,
inaccurate kicking. But yes, the big story out of this game, not the result. Essendon did end up winning, like you said, 15-7-97 to 15-11-101. But Dangerfield is pretty much likely to miss round one due to a hamstring injury. And yeah, it was a big loss to Geelong considering they're missing Reece Stanley, Scott Sarwood, Lockie Henderson, and maybe even Gary Ablett heading into round one against Melbourne. So that is definitely not ideal, but what is ideal is the big tomahawk kicking 5 goals.
Kicking 5 snags. Tomahawk. Yes. How good's that?
Oh, I remember this YouTube video.
It's Jakey Stringer, though. He kicked 2, and he kicked a phenomenal goal from the right forward pocket. He ran back the clock. Little banana-na goal. Little banana-na-na-na time. So.
Oh, the package of a banana-na.
He looks weird, though, in the Essendon jumper. He's just 25. Yeah. Has he chucked on a bit
preseason? Yeah.
He just looks a little bigger, so I don't know.
Jake
Hopefully
Long
he has a good season for his sake anyway.
Yeah, of course. Jakey Long, the son of Michael, Long kicked the winning goal. Doubtful he'll probably play much. Danaher only kicked a goal, but in the end, good win. Let's talk about your mob.
Not too good of a performance in the wet. Yeah, we lost. We only kicked five behinds in the first quarter.
There really wasn't much to it.
2 goals, 2, second. The third, we kicked a goal, 7. And then the final turn, we kicked 1 goal, 4. So if you're kicking a lot more behinds than goals, you are not likely to win the match. No. And in this case, we went down by only 7 points. So if we had kicked more goals than behinds, we were probably going to win that match.
By a fair bit as well.
Say we kicked 18 goals, 4. Yeah. We've won by over 60 points.
Pretty much. But good thing for Stuart Drew, though. Winning culture, and even though it's pretty easy, they lost against Sydney. So they won the AFLX and they won 2. Jared Lyon, who I think thought when he got picked up by Gold Coast was an absolute steal. Fantastic. With Swallow, who got compared to Gary Ablett on the weekend. But I do think Gold Coast does have a solid midfield. I just don't think their backup players, I don't have good enough backup players for them to do much this year. But like I said, a good preseason game. A winning culture is what you need for a young club. Yeah. Let's get over to this another team, a team called Fremantle. The Fremantle.
Who is this team?
Who calls that team the Dockers? What a stupid name.
Yeah, and this is funny coming from the bloke who's wearing a Fremantle hoodie into the studio today.
I thought this was Melbourne Storm. I saw purple. I go to the Stormers.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't have a terrible green and yellow, green and red. Like, oh.
God. Oh. Okay, well, your boys, they produced a very good performance against the Eels, defeated them 14-17, 101 to 5-9-39.
And there's one player I want to mention. Because I have gone into a lot of internet discussion with very intelligent people.
What he's trying to say is a lot more intelligent than yourself.
I was going to say fair supporters are idiots, but okay. Matthew Tabernacle, he'd come in and ever since he played, since he was a forward at Fremantle, he gets compared to the great man himself, kicks 2 goals, kicked the first 2 goals of the game, but having 12 marks and 23 touches, and he's finally showing that what... they want him to show, and which is a really good form. And as well, Lachie Neal, 36 touches, 3 goals, 2, if you don't mind. And for West Coast, really, no one played well. And that's not insulting. That is really, I'll say Liam Duggan was good, but apart from that, no one really performed for West Coast. And with Kennedy missing round one, it's also going to be a big issue for them.
We'll get to the cricket. And at this stage of the match, It's quite the nail biter at the moment. Could go either way. South Africa definitely have the upper hand. But before we get into the current...
I wouldn't say it'd go either way. You'd have a draw and a South African win.
We could still win this. You never know. Okay, so before we get into this stage, we'll just do a quick recap of what's happened so far in the test match. So at the end of day 2, South Africa were trailing by around 100 runs. And then AB de Villiers... he was able to score 126 from 146 balls. That's a strike rate of 86.3.
That's a bit like you. That's how you play, right?
Definitely. I always play it like a runner ball. I don't like play 20 and then face like 180 balls. That's definitely not my game.
I'm a
frequent scorer. Yeah. If you couldn't tell, I was being sarcastic there. So I definitely don't score as quickly as AB de Villiers when I play cricket. But anyway, we're not talking about me here. We're talking about the professional cricketers of the world. And yeah, so South Africa, let's have a look at the fall of wickets. So at 7 for 227, that was the fall of Quinton de Kock. Vernon Philander and AB de Villiers, they were able to put on almost 100 runs. They were able to get South Africa to 311 before Philander went. And then another 58 runs was put on between Keshav Maharaj and de Villiers. Maharaj scoring 30. Mind you, Philander, he did score 36 himself. And then the final wicket partnership was only 23 with Ngidi and de Villiers, who Ngidi was run out on 5, and with de Villiers finishing on 126, not out. The bowlers for Australia was all right. Pat Cummins picking up 3 wickets, going for 79 runs, and then 2 players took 2 wickets, and that was Mitch Marsh.
Not bad. 9
Josh
overs.
Hazlewood.
Marsh only bowled the 9 overs. 1 maiden, 26 runs, 2 wickets. Can't argue with that. You know, don't even tell people. If you're telling people, you're just be like, yeah, I got 2 wickets on the weekend. Yeah, I only went for 26. How many overs did you bowl? Yep.
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 I bowled.
If you talked to me last week, I didn't pick up any wickets and I might have got smashed for a bit. But to be fair, we're playing on a 20-cent piece. Anyway, Australia. So after bowling South Africa for 382, we had a lead of 130. Had a lead of 139 runs.
And just like the Twin Towers, Australia collapsed.
Yes, Australia collapsed. So it was a good opening stand. It was a good opening stand between Warner and Bancroft. They were able to get to 27 before Rabada, who we'll talk about later on, dismissed Warner, bowled him as a beautiful ball taking the off stump for 13. Then it was Bancroft out on 24 runs, and the fall wicket
South
was at 62.
South Africa would have loved Warner's wicket, though. They would have went absolutely bonkers.
Did. And I'll get to that. You know, we may as well talk about it now. Rabada, his celebration, what he did was, and I'm not sure whether this is going to come under scrutiny from the match referee, it was pretty poor. What he did was he pretty much yelled. It was just like screaming yes, pretty much. And he screamed yes, not directly at Warner. And then the last one, he did it again, but he changed direction, so his projection of his voice was in Warner's face, directly in Warner's face. So say he's walking past Warner, and then he actually changes his direction and doing it directly to Warner. And that is something the ICC and match officials do not like to see at all.
Well, he's already on his way out, because the bump he did to Steve Smith.
Yeah, he's already going to be out for that. For two weeks. In case you didn't know, when he dismissed Steve Smith in the first innings, Rabada didn't avoid Smith. He went straight into him and there was contact, and that has already come under scrutiny by the ICC, and there's hearings actually going to be today, and it's believed he's going to be offered a 2-match suspension, and which means he will be out for the remainder of the series because it is a 4-test series. Thoughts on that incident anyway between him and Smith?
There wasn't much there in terms of a bump.
Oh, no, of course not. Like, if that was in the AFL and someone got suspended for that, I may consider stop watching the league. But, yeah, in cricket, it's a no-touch policy.
It is.
And it's clear as daylight. The evidence is against
it. You know, if you see, like, two football players have a bit of a scuffle, you know, they're macho, testosterone-filled men.
Mm.
That's how we look at it. Cricketers are cricketers. Why are they acting like wankers? You hit a ball. No, I know you play cricket, but you hit a ball. What are you going to do, go up to a girl and like, I'm like, yeah, so I scored 30 off 25 today. And she'll be like, oh my God, take me home.
Mm.
No, you're just a cricketer. Play cricket. You're not tough / manly sport. And stop acting like buffoons.
Yeah, it's pretty poor there. So Rabada, he'll definitely be out. You think he's got no case answer there.
And two South African officials.
Did you see the Warner incident?
The one where
he yelled at him.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's. Do you reckon he'll get anything for that, or do you think he'll get like a fine or something for that?
He'll probably get a fine. I don't think
because that's not a good look, is it?
But the whole series hasn't been a good look.
Yeah, I know. This series is going to be talked about for all these separate incidents. Mm. The Warner, the Koch kerfuffle, and now Rabada, Smith, Rabada/Warner.
I think Australia should even just rest David Warner for the rest of the series.
Who's going to come in? You're going to bring in Renshaw?
Sure. Nah, I don't know. I just think...
Why do you want to rest Warner?
Because he's going to get suspended before the end of it. But it looks like he's one incident away from being suspended, and that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, he's got three demerit points. They're trying to push him over the line. Yeah, he's got three demerit points. If he gets four, that's an automatic test ban.
Mm.
All right, anyway, back to the... you're talking about the officials.
Sonny Bill Williams situation.
Yeah, that's a furor. That's incredible stuff. South African officials, they allowed fans to walk into the stadium with wearing Sonny Bill face masks, and... The reason why they were wearing Sonny Bill face masks is because David Warner's wife, Candace Warner now.
Yeah.
Good one, Ben. What's her surname? Far out, I'm dumb. All right, she had an infamous relationship with Sonny Bill back in about 07.
Mm.
So they knew that they'd get under the skin of Davey Warner. So they were allowed to first get into the stadium, and then the South Africa officials actually posed for a photo with them
worse. That's not on at all.
That's just disgraceful.
That is. And that's from you shouldn't do that. You know, again, cricket's meant to be a classy sport.
We'll allow that. Yeah, allow them in. That's like
heckling.
Yeah, that's fine. But they're fans. To take a photo with them, and I think they allowed him into like a post-match formal, something like that. They allowed him in, and they were heard hurtling abuse to Warner when he was doing a post-match interview. Day interview, at the end of day two, I believe it was, or day one. So, yeah, not a good look for South Africa at the moment. And, yeah, this series seems like it's not going to be talked about getting played. So we're going to switch to that. We're going to talk about the game played.
Well,
so,
we just got through Warner and Bancroft. Then Khawaja came in to save for Australia with 75.
Khawaja looked great. He played two flashing cover drives first off against Rabada. They were away from his body. And what did he end up making, Liam?
75 of 136.
Incredible.
Unfortunately, got LBW by Rabada, but...
Yeah.
He's paid, there's two good batting innings in the last, five test matches, so he's doing okay.
He's starting to produce away from Australia, which is good.
Yes. Steve Smith also came in, got out for 11.
Another slump.
And Marsh got out for 1.
Yeah.
But Mitch Marsh came in, and he's kind of steadied, him and Khawaja steadied the ship.
Yeah.
The sinking ship it was.
Mitch Marsh is starting to come into his own now with the bat, so I think this decision...
And the ball as well, lately.
Yeah, because he took 2 as well. So he's looking really good. Tim Payne is in at the moment with him. So Mitch Marsh, at the moment, he's 39 not out with Tim Payne also at the crease on 5. So Australia, the end of day 3, are in trouble and are on 5 for 180. We lead by only 41 runs. So at this stage, we need to get a lead of, I believe, at least 200 to win the match. If we get around 160 plus... lead, so that's another 120 runs, we can defend that. It's like it gives our bowlers something to bowl at, but that 200 is like that's beautiful. That'd be beautiful to get.
Oh, I would. Oh, also let's not talk about Rabada's. He's gonna be lost 8 wickets so far in this game alone.
Yeah, in his innings he's got 3 for 38.
So he will be a big loss when he does end up getting suspended.
Now we're going to start talking about the NBA
and
soccer
later as well at the end.
Yeah, as well. So at the moment in the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Raptors remain on top of the standings there. They are on an 8-game winning streak. And
first team
speaking of streaks, they broke the Houston Rockets 16-game winning streak yesterday with a phenomenal performance.
What a big win. I think that win is bigger than you think considering how the range between the West and the East are, the two best teams in the NBA are both Western teams.
Yeah.
And to have the Raptors win, and a good win as well, proved that they could be, they're probably going to make the finals, but, might be closer than people might think.
Yes, so the Raptors there on Saturday, our time, they defeated the Houston Rockets 108-105, snapping the Rockets' 16-game winning streak.
And today they defeated the Knicks 132-106. But the big game that just finished, and we watched the end of it.
Yes, we did. We watched the end of
this. The Timberwolves got over the Warriors 109-103, which the Rockets would love when they play the Mavericks later today, if they can get over the Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if the Pacers can get over the Celtics later on today, they could jump Cleveland in third position, which is odd. The Pacers after losing Paul George.
It's just Victor Oladipo. Mm. He has been incredible for the Pacers. But, yeah, they could easily leapfrog the Cavs. But at the end of the season, you doubt to see that. I think that top three is set.
Yeah.
And it's purely whether the Raptors can keep up this form. So they have been incredible this season so far, the Raptors. So, yes, they lead it from the Celtics. The Cavs are in third, followed by the Pacers. And then it is Washington, who also potentially could even leapfrog Cleveland.
Yeah, they disappointing loss to, I think, the Miami Heat early
yesterday.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Which they would either leapfrog. Then your mob, the 76ers.
Yes.
Who I think are firmly in now their top eight.
I think the eighth seeds are locked up in East. So yes. Milwaukee are in eighth. Who would have thought that? We thought that Milwaukee would have been a top four seed for sure in the East. But at this stage of the season, they are in the eighth seed and Miami Heat are in seventh. So the Milwaukee Bucks, they sit five games clear of Detroit, who are outside the top
eight. Remember when Detroit
eight?
Was fourth? They were just behind Cleveland.
Yeah, not too long ago. So it's pretty tight. So if you go from where the Cavs are and where Milwaukee are, so Cavs are in third and the Bucks are in eighth, it is only three wins which separates them.
Which makes it extremely close. But let's go down to the West.
Oh, let's go to the West.
And
why
the Rockets
not?
Have a chance to break a bit clear, even though they have an extra game on the Warriors. But if they win today, they are a win plus now game clear.
Well, the Warriors had a chance today to leapfrog the Rockets into the one seed, and they fell to the T-Wolves, who are in fifth position in the East.
They had a three-game losing streak. That's why.
Yeah. And they are even with the Pelicans. They'll probably leapfrog them if the Pelicans lose.
And the Trailblazers.
The Trailblazers are in
nine-game winning streak, if you don't mind.
Dame time. The Spurs are in seventh.
Wow, it's weird seeing them that low.
Yeah, so we'll go. So Rockets first, then Warriors, Portland, New Orleans, round out the top four. Then it's Minnesota, Oklahoma, San Antonio, and the Clippers. And in the West, it is a lot closer down the bottom than it is in the East. Separating, we'll go from fourth down to tenth. So the Pelicans in fourth and the Denver Nuggets in tenth. It is only two wins.
That is massive.
Two wins that separates them.
Yep.
And three teams who we thought that were lock-ins, were shoe-ins for the playoffs, are in this race. And they are in order at the moment of their seeds. It is Minnesota, Oklahoma, and the San Antonio Spurs, who look like for the first time in, is it maybe 20 years?
Yeah, 18 seasons.
A long time, that is for sure. It looks like they're not going to record 50 wins for the season. And I think we talked about this
last week.
So, I think our prediction's right.
An amazing
start.
They're
on a two-game losing streak. So, not
that's
good.
Big. No, not at all. And the Timberwolves, again, they're the surprise pack of the season. They've done really well to be where they are. They've pretty much been in the top five the entire year, which is good. The Trailblazers, looking like they could end up finishing third, which would be massive in the end. And, the Clippers, who I think just recently leapfrogged the Nuggets. So, it's all close. We're getting to the business end of the NBA season.
All right, so to today's games, at the moment, the Nuggets lead the Kings 106-74. And the remaining games, the main key games, we've got the Rockets taking the Mavs, the Pacers taking on the Celtics, my boys, the Sixers, taking on the Nets, and then the final remaining game is the Cavs taking on the Los Angeles
Lakers. And the
Lakers
are on a bit of form at the moment as well, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah,
also,
we'll
quickly jump to the NBA. The NBA final will kick off on the 16th of March in Melbourne, between Melbourne and Adelaide. So the first time since 2009.
Since
New
my
Zealand.
Old boys, the South Dragons. South Dragons with Jingling Joe Ingles, who is still a robbery, not making the three-point contest. The first time a team other than the Breakers or the Wildcats.
And there were some people complaining about a call that wasn't paid, but, during sport, most calls aren't paid.
Especially basketball.
And Perth people are a bunch of sooks. Sorry if you're from Perth, but yous are.
Liam would know all about it, being a Dockers fan, wouldn't you?
I've been to Perth once. I've only been to WA once. They've got a lot of runway roads.
Only been
there.
Once?
Yep. But, so big loss for them. Maybe they're so used to success. But it's going to be interesting. I've got the Melbourne United, I think, have it now after two solid performance. And it's going to be an interesting, very interesting final series.
For sure. And do you got a prediction?
I've got Melbourne probably win. I think it'll go down to like the seventh game. Or the fifth game, sorry, the fifth game.
Yeah, it's a five-game series, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. So I've got Melbourne as well. They should win that anyway. And we got some soccer, but the question that you've put out onto the Twitter, Liam, yes. what is that question?
As Australians, as true blue Australians, do we prefer the A-League or the NBA?
I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Do you think it's clear?
Golf.
Golf. Without a doubt.
Plot twist right there.
Plot twist right there.
No, NBA by NBA, Evan easily. Mile.
And what does that tell you about soccer?
It goes too long.
Yes, which we talked about last week.
Only two games were on this week.
I hate this. They got all these split rounds. It's just like, it's too long. Obviously, I know they got the Champions League and they've got the Asian Champion League, that is, and then they got the FFA Cup. It is too long.
Yes.
We'll talk about this at the end of the season, for sure. But definitely. Yeah, anyway, the performances on the weekend, it was the Wanderers 4-1 over Wellington.
And Perth
3-1.
Yep. So, mouth-watering matches there.
We are up to the wrap-up.
Yes, we are. Let's quickly jump straight into it. Australia ended up winning the Azlan. I can't remember the last name. I always stuff it up. They didn't win the series in the hockey. I know Caleb will be mad at me for that.
We'll call it the Azlan Shah Cup.
We might call it that.
We are definite pronunciation experts, so we are going to say we are 99.9% right.
Until Caleb comes in Wednesday and goes, we got it wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
But they won 2-1 against England. They were undefeated the entire series, which is fantastic. Good warm-up for the Commonwealth Games. And if anyone's a hockey fan, don't worry. Australia wins Commonwealth Games gold medals. They don't win Olympic gold medals in hockey.
That's for sure. Yes. That's a certainty. All right, the Rebels.
Undefeated. Best start they've had.
Three from three we are. We defeated the Brumbies 33-10.
Yes, and people wanted to kick him out instead of Western Force. Western who?
Oh. West Australia? What's that?
Huh? Well, call yourself Perth instead of West. You know, at least people know where Melbourne is. Oh, where's
just
Western?
So, just so you know, we're not discriminatory against states. So
South Australia, but that's the personal day. They know what they did.
Yes, they do. Speaking of rugby, we'll move to the rugby league and Melbourne Storm. They've kicked off their title defence with a commanding win against the Canterbury Bulldogs. They defeated them 36-18 over there in Perth, and the men's team streak is still there. If you want to call these two teams home teams, we will
On the state of forms, they were the home team in
this game. So the teams were the Rabbitohs and the Bulldogs, and they both went down over there hosting their games. They were the home games there in Perth, and it seems that the men's teams, the home teams, can't win. So
the only win Frio is going to get at the new Perth Stadium is against Gold Coast, because Gold Coast will be the home team there.
And against West Coast when they host.
The Derby, yes.
Who hosts the first Derby?
West Coast. They always
host
the West Coast, yeah.
So you'll win that.
Yes. And in positive news, because this is something personal, something I believe in, Matt Lodge, who plays for the Brisbane Broncos, got booed every time he touched the ball, and so he should. He should not be playing in the NRL. Just remember, when they go for a team meeting and he has to shake hands with a 9-year-old kid, remember that he kept the kid that age hostage.
Mm.
So he does not deserve to be playing in the NRL, and he deserves all the booze he gets. And that's a personal thing. I just think it's a disgusting effort from the Brisbane Broncos to play to let someone on their list with that type of history. And the video of the assault and that was pretty clear, and I just think it was
pretty
disgusting.
Damning.
Yes,
yeah,
it was an absolutely disgusting act. But yeah, that's all the time we have for today on the Sports Desk.
Yes, it is. That's it for this Monday edition of the Sports Desk. You can tune in to Liam, who will be back on Wednesday with Caleb from 9 to 10. And I'll be back on the Friday show. I'm finally making a return to the Friday show with Michael and Neve.
Can't wait for the hype package.
Yeah, the hype's going to be huge. All right, so do tune in 9 to 10 Wednesday and Friday. You can tune in to all of our shows, which are uploaded immediately on the day by myself or Liam usually. It'll be posted on your local podcasting app. If you've got Apple, it'll be on podcast. Whatever floats your boat. You can like us on Facebook, of course, at The Sports Desk. Tweet to us at The Sports Desk on Twitter. And anyway, if you do
Instagrammers on Instagram, we don't have a Sports Desk Instagram, but
we'll be working.
I'm pretty
on
sure
it.
You can find us. We're not that hard to find.
Not at all. Anyway, pleasure talking with you, Liam, today.
It was, yes.
Anyway, we'll be back next Monday, the two of us. So do tune in to Schools on Air. Thanks for listening to us.